Hey, it's Dan here. If you want to hear this episode of the Backchat podcast without ads and get extra content that no one else gets, head to backchatstudios.com.au where you can sign up as a patron and access all of our bloody good merch.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Righto, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very, very special edition of Backchat because it's a collaborated podcast.
Love it.
Ladies and gents. Powered by Paywise Backchat. We have the boys from Brownies Podcasting. So this is Backchat cross Brownies Podcast.
Brown chat. which sounds gross, by the way.
Back brown. It does.
Don't Google brown chat.
No, don't.
We've had to hijack it, haven't we? We heard Backchat was just massive in the western states, but we're going to bring it to the eastern states, mate.
Also, and, listen to Brownie's voice. We had a big one last night.
We didn't, actually. We were in bed early.
Is that right?
We worked hard. Voice is going well. So we've got Brownie and Dino from Brownie's Pod. So you might be listening to this over on the Brownie's Podcast feed. You might be listening to this on Backchat. Don't know where you're doing it, but hope you're going to enjoy it. We're going to talk a bit of everything today. Off the top, I think it's important to recognise that we have two very big West Coast fans in the house, Brownie.
Yes.
Right? And it's not you and it's not I. Right? Dino and Dan, the two.
Yeah.
Nuffies.
Can we sort out the issues of the West Coast Eagles? Sort it out just in this very episode?
Put it on the fucking table and we sort it out.
Damn, we could have dignity in this dark time.
Of course.
Because the Dockers fans, who, let's be honest, they're going to be honest for our shit period.
Yeah.
And we have to hold our heads high and not act like little bitches.
Absolutely.
And just because you've got $80 million in the bank doesn't give you a reason to hold your head high, Dino. Right? We know you're a rich club, but you're also a shit club.
That's true.
Surely you boys have considered going and supporting another team.
No. Yeah. Have you blokes done that?
Kiss my ass. No. Absolutely.
The thing is, if like, so over in the West, we've got West Coast, obviously, and Fremantle. Like, Fremantle fans have lived with mediocrity for 30 years, have never done anything, right? So I can live with a few bad seasons. We'll be back. 2018, we won.
A few bad seasons. We won three games in about 3 years.
Yeah, I said a few seasons.
It's a very big understatement.
You may have a trophy cabinet, but it could be littered with wooden spoons by this next period.
It's all right.
We're rebuilding, but it's a special breed of bad, isn't it?
Yeah, we're building deep foundations. Take us a long time, but we'll be back.
But Scuzz, you reckon just hold on?
I probably am considered a bit of a turncoat, right? So I grew up a Geelong fan,
right?
Brownie and I are both from the Mick Turner Footy Factory, Geelong Falcons. I used to sit three rows back at the footy, abuse Brownie and his friends when they come down from Brisbane, you know, teams. I was right in front of the Oppo bench, right? And as I got older, my abuse went up, right? And I took that into playing, actually, and I just ramped it right up. As a 17-year-old, I get drafted and I can't support Geelong. I'm on West Coast list, right?
Yeah.
But am I a West Coast supporter? Probably no.
What?
Brownie, I don't know. It's very difficult to support a club you're playing for. You're not watching on the weekend cheering them on, right? You're not a supporter. You play for them.
I don't like this. It is a weird question, though.
You do. When you were playing, often you would get asked when you were still playing, who do you barrack for?
Yeah, correct.
Which was sort of weird. You go, well, that's a good question. But, fortunately enough, my dad played Fitzroy. So I was a Lions supporter, so I always barracked for the Lions.
Yes.
So it wasn't really a question. But I thought that that is a funny question because you would still have the team that you grew up with. Correct. And you absolutely love. You're never going to lose that, even if you go and play with someone else.
But I clipped them. Yeah, I clipped Geelong, and then I didn't have West Coast. So then I had 15 years sort of playing and then got to the end of it. I hadn't been a supporter for 15 years. Yeah. So I've only just recently rediscovered fandom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not who you'd expect.
You rediscovered it in September of 22, July. You jumped back on.
No, I'm a GWS Giants fan.
What?
Yeah.
Just because they're sick right now.
Mate, just, you got to get around something. And I enjoy what they do socially.
Yeah, good, aren't they? Like, they're sensational, aren't they?
Hey, just quickly, did you go to 92 and 94 as a fan?
No. Oh, sorry, Geelong. Absolutely. Yeah. Mate, my house was wrapped in blue and white streamers. I had Buddha Hocking. I had Adrian Hickmott. No, Adrian Hickmott didn't play in those games, but Adrian Hickmott, who later came and coached me, played through that period and then to Carlton as well.
Yep.
Mate, I was a Geelong Nuffy. Like, I was what you boys are to West Coast. Yep. I was Geelong. And yep. So I'll tell a story. 89, I was born, lose to Hawthorn. 92, lose to West Coast. 94, lose to West Coast. 95, lose to Carlton. And so, long story cut short, I get to 2018 and there's 3 minutes to go in the 2018 grand final. And I have this litany of lost grand finals. 2015, lost grand final.
Yes.
Right? All I've ever done is lost grand finals. So, 3 minutes to go and we're down in the grand final.
Yep.
I have this epiphany, right, of it's time for me to win the fucking grand final. Yes. So that's when I end up running down the middle of the MCG, yes, trying to win it off my own boot, leave Jordan to go in the goal square. And this is where the moment happens. You would know, man. This, Dana.
Absolutely. I know everything about it.
McGovern, Navardi, to Ryan, to Sheed. It doesn't happen without me.
We have to sit through this.
We do have to sit
through this. Gallivanting down the middle of the MCG because Gov's covering my man because he's lazy, right? He's lazy and he's on to go with it, right? Yeah. Stand around, takes the mark, closes his eyes, kicks Navardi. Dumbest bloke in our team, Nathan Vardy, gets the ball, closes his eyes, got a fucking shin guard on his leg. Like, seriously. Kicks the ball.
Flying.
Liam Ryan, only bloke in the plate, does what he's meant to do. Kicks to Dom Sheed. We've had umpire Brett Rosebery on the pod a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Played on. Should have called play on.
Yeah. Yes.
Shepherded. Willy Rioli Shepherd.
That's right.
Right. And Dom Sheed's never kicked a goal like that in his life, ever. Right.
Mate.
So he goes how often do you see that at training? So you boys training Subiaco.
Correct.
How many times did he... And Dom, it's that pocket. From that angle.
It's that pocket. It's that angle, the Dom Sheed angle, like a lot.
And yeah, Sheed, really?
Yeah, correct.
So as you boys walk off the training paddock, that's where you boys will have pot shots
at
from.
At Subi, yes. Yeah. And that year we changed to Optus, though. We started playing at Optus and
we
stopped training at Subi and started training Optus during that year.
Yeah, right.
And so he'd had a good run in at it, but... I he'd never done it in a game, Brownie. I can tell you that right now. So we were, as backmen, we were fucking setting up for that one. The forwards had missed that many goals that last quarter. Dino, were you there?
Yeah, absolutely. I was there. Sheed was supposed to be off. You know about this?
No. Nah.
He ignored the runner, just stayed on the field.
Fair digger.
And then just pissed off to be an extra man in the forward. And it got down to it.
He got called off because Lekker was on the bench. And basically, instead of going off, he ran forward. Just took off. So I'm in the middle of the MCG and not doing my role. Sheeta's fucking down one end, fucking not doing his role. And all of us just cheating our asses off. And then somehow he gets on the end of it, kicks the goal.
Has Dom Sheed ever bought a drink in Perth?
No.
Come on.
Mate. When I tell that story, and there's a fair bit more mayo to sporty when I do that, Brownie, right?
Yeah.
I finish with, and every bar and every venue, I would get fucking cheered in if I got that ball in the middle of the MCG and run out and kick the goal, right? I'm Dom Sheed then, but no, fucking Dom Sheed. Here he comes, everybody. Dom Sheed.
Yeah, good. I remember 92. So we lived in Perth in for 92, 93. It was the first year of the West Coast Eagles. I remember that day they the Mighty Eagles beat Geelong, and it was like a ghost town out in the streets. If you went out there during the game, it was like Deadwood.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was unbelievable how big that time was. I know. Yeah, I'm great mates with Juddy, and we were out with him last night, Dino, and he's speaking about the 2006 premiership and obviously your boys in 2018. But I don't think there was any bigger impact on a state than that 92 premiership.
Man.
When the Eagles finally broke through and won the national title.
As
well. It was just dumb. And those guys were rock stars.
They were kings, mate.
They were rock stars, weren't
Jacko?
They?
Big Jacko with his greased up arms.
Mate, yes.
I can't believe some arms can hold that much grease.
Yeah,
I remember Dad used to go to work. He's friends with Ron Alexander, who was one of the original West Coast coaches. Played with Dad at Fitzroy. And he worked at the, I think he was the head of the Institute of Sport at WA, and Brett Heady worked with him. So, but to walk in there and you'd see Brett Heady, you could see his ears before he actually saw him. But the great Brett Heady, that was during the height of it. So they were absolute rock stars. As a kid, you know, I was, 10 years old. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Cole Langdon's told us about, like, they used to just rock around in the full, like, parachute pants and, like, bomber jacket in
the
West Coast.
They used to get off the plane wearing that stuff straight to the nightclub in their tracksuit.
Unbelievable.
Just kings.
Do you guys remember Carl Langdon? I can't find any evidence of this on the internet. At one point, because Carl was a bit of a wild child when he played, he bleached his hair, right, and then put the Bad Boy logo on the back of his head.
Really?
Bullshit. Do you remember this?
No.
I can't find any evidence. If anyone knows what I'm talking about.
He'll have it. I'll text Carl. Oh, he'll definitely have it.
It'll be amazing. I just can't find it anyway. What a bogan move.
He had a sponsorship deal with Morris Mead over in Perth. And he reckons he's the most sponsored player at the time with Morris Mead, and he bleached his hair. He said the girls came over and bleached my hair and saw that out. Brownie, couldn't you have been a Hawk? So a couple of questions on the back of that. Couldn't you have been a Hawk? You went farther son of the Lions.
Well, the Hawks actually took – so back in the days when we came through, I think it might have been – maybe might have changed the rules before you come through, Scuzz, but you could take – each club could take 1 17-year-old. And the Hawks took mum and dad out for dinner and said, we're going to take him as our 17-year-old, take Jonathan. And at that stage, Brisbane had the number one pick, so it finished last. And they were going to take Des Headland, another WA product. So they came to mum and dad and said, look, no, we want Brisbane to stay out of the – oh, we want Jonathan to stay out of the draft. And then we'll take him father-son in 12 months' time. However, Hawthorn had given me the offer to go. And then, so I either had to sign a memorandum of understanding with the Lions that I'd stay out of the draft or sign the draft registration papers. And we rang Hawthorn, and Hawthorn reneged on the offer. And they said, nah, we're not going to guarantee it now. And so they decided to take David Loates, who was a teammate of mine from the Geelong Falcons. Loatesy ended up playing 4 games. And I think the Hawthorn bloke eventually got the sack, the recruiting manager. And because we couldn't get the guarantee, I didn't enter the draft. And I signed the understanding with the Lions and stayed home and did year 12.
How's that?
There was no financial enticements. It was just that mum became the highest paid housewife in Victoria.
Speaking of players that haven't played many games, can you tell these gentlemen what you have tattooed on your ass?
I've got a bloke. So Patrick Weirden was a teammate of mine. Yes. Paddy Weirden did not play a game of AFL football, but he was drafted. And our last footy trip, we were blind, we're in Hong Kong. So he got a picture of a Lego head. I said, if you get a Lego head, because they all called me Lego head, obviously you're not hard to work out. If you get a Lego on your ass, I'll get your signature on my ass, just so someone can remember you, mate, because you'll never fucking play a game of footy. So anyway, he did it. So he got a Lego head on his ass, and so now I've got Paddy Wynn's signature on my ass, number 37. So I know when I got home at the first shower, and my wife said to me, she goes, I hope that thing rubs off.
Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he gone at your butt with a Sharpie and then the tattoo artist goes over the top of it.
That's right. Brilliant. That's it. That's how we did it. Actually, I remember we did it when we were doing Nova Breakfast. A guy turned up to one of our shows and he was a mad fan and he got me to do my signature on the top of his foot with a Sharpie. And then he went straight to the tattoo parlor and got it tattooed on. Oh, imagine amazing. How painful that'd be.
Unbelievable.
Hey, top of a foot.
Someone got a QR code, one of the Eagles players from 2018. So if you scan their, who was it?
Nathan Vardy.
So if you scan Vard's foot, it goes to the YouTube clip of that final play.
Really? Are you serious? Vard's back in Warrnambool. He was my assistant coach last year. I coached the interleague, the local league down there, but he's coaching now.
So next time you see him without shoes on, Brownie, have a look. It's a QR code. I'll tell you a secret though, right? No one knows this. So how people know about it is we put it out on social media, right? And there was a phone, went around, everyone's having a beer. We went quite well on socials. Then it zooms in on Vard's thing, and then it like goes bang, and then the video comes up. Yep. Right, so I was off mic there. Zoom in, QR code bang. The QR code doesn't work.
What?
Oh, no.
He butchered the QR code so it doesn't fucking do anything.
Oh, that's a scandal.
So it doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, no.
He tried to get it to work, and because skin and blah, 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 he's butchered it.
Which
just sums up Ruckman for you.
Stunning. Sorry.
So keep going.
Well, back to 2018, just real quick. I just want to talk about you, Scuzz. That game you played, if Scuzz wasn't out there, we don't win that.
Yeah.
To go, he kicked those
scars. Tee you up for this.
This is no, this is brilliant. This is just love. I'm gonna spew love all over this.
I haven't heard this before. So this will be good, yeah.
Get his signature on your ass.
Sign my ass. We'll go down on the tattoo. I was watching your highlights from that game. To go, he kicked those freak goals, but you had his number the whole day. Yeah. At one point, you
did
had
to go that day.
Yeah,
because he's a powerful bastard.
Yeah,
that'd be a bit.
Yeah, he's a bull.
It'd be intimidating to play on him, I reckon. People, just how much speed and power he's got.
People forget he kicked three, so thanks, brilliant.
At one point, Scuzz handballs the footy to Varco for Collingwood, and then tackles him.
Really?
What trick was that?
So, who knows, mate? I just didn't want the footy in my hands. But basically, most of the time, I wasn't really a ball magnet sort of player.
Yeah.
But to go here, right, he kicks three goals, right? And so the forwards at West Coast remind me of that, because I bang on about it, saying I'm the reason we won the grand final.
Yeah, you are.
And they would say, well, fucking Jordan, go kick three goals. He kicked in the midfield, right? Yes. He couldn't get a touch on me down the forward line.
I think he kicked one from the centre square.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. He kicked two out of centre bounces on our fucking mids. Right, Sheedy, right? Redden.
That's
your
right.
Mate, Redden.
Jackie boy. My right. Man, Jackie Redden.
JB, put your headphone in. So you're going to say something?
Right, no, go.
I don't think you know about this. This is more Eagles folklore.
I'm excited about this. You've been talking about this bit of audio.
Well, I've got a couple of bits.
This is,
Lekker, on grand final day, they win the game. And he's back, it looks like, at his hotel room, shit-faced. And he's done a little video. And I assume it was just for the player's WhatsApp or something. Would that be right, Scuzz?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
Who was it?
Well, have a listen. This is Mark McGrath giving his take on the 2018 grand final.
Let me set the scene here. Grand final. Playing Collingwood. We're down by 5 goals. You can't know what happened.
Sounds well. Sounds really well.
He's had a big couple of days.
So that was like 6 a.m. the next morning, right? And he's put that in our WhatsApp, and it was in our full squad WhatsApp, so sort of 45 blokes in there. So we don't quite know how it got out, but it got out, right? And we were getting tattoos on the Wednesday at one of the boys' houses, and it came out that morning, and I've never seen a fucking more frightened bloke than Lekker.
Fair to you.
Nizzy's ringing him. Well, because he's dropped the C-bomb, right?
Yeah, so it's a big one.
But it's also Monday morning after winning the grand final.
That's right, of course.
But he was petrified, Lekker. So it came out, it went out, and then all the boys are sending around. And I think merch came out a little bit up. But
I got a lot of photos from that few days because we're close to the Reds, Jack and Ames. So Ames was sending Cole, so my wife, Kylie, a lot of photos of Jackie Redden, because he's no good the next day. Jackie boy, he doesn't back up at all. So I'm just getting
constant.
I'm getting constant updates of Jack Redden just dead on a couch or dead in bed somewhere.
We put the Ben Cousins Such as Life on him, right, over his chest, and he woke up and he'd slept face down, and he got off the bed sheets and his full tats had run all over his bed sheets. James was filthy.
Yeah. I remember when we got to our tattoo 2001, a few of myself, Tim Notting and Justin Lepage went and got a tattoo, and we didn't know how to do it. So we went and got a photo from, we were at the pub up the top, and we had to walk past the Gabba where the Brisbane Lions offices were, and we got a photo of the banner where we ran out on grand final day. And we took, and we kept walking, the tattoo shop was another 200 metres past the Gabba.
Yep.
We took the photo into the tattooist and he photocopied it and just stenciled that onto our ankles. And then upstairs, we're like, this is unbelievable. We love Powderfinger, were huge at the time. Powderfinger were getting ready for their Australian tour.
No shit.
And I absolutely loved my happiness. But 2 hours later, I fucking hated my happiness because they were trying to refine it. So we listened to Powderfinger refine my happiness for 2 hours over and over and over again. And then Bernard Fanning and the boys came down and got a photo with us.
Amazing.
At the end of it. It was unbelievable. So, and that was the height of Powderfinger. So that was our tattoo story from the grand final.
This other little nugget of audio. This is very obscure, very niche.
Yes.
But I'm just taken with this. You know how you get your medal, you go up onto the podium, there's little kids there, JB.
Kids, yeah.
And you're going to navigate the handshake or the cuddle, whatever.
No, how'd you go with those? I mean, you had three of them in a row.
Too many to remember, mate.
I'm telling one story from 1 minute of the grand finals, man. Like, 01, 02, 03.
I think that started, our first year, 2001. I'd like to go back and check the history books, but I reckon that just started.
Yeah, right.
So it was a sort of new thing. So like, what the fuck are these little kids up there for?
And everyone's
sort of
watching.
Everyone's watching
how you interact with the player.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a little girl. JK goes up to get his medal. And just listen to how this little girl talks to him. It's beautiful. Rip a game, mate. Well done. Rip a game, mate. Well done.
That's so good. So is that JK getting his stuff?
Yeah. This little girl speaking like a 40-year-old. Just rip a game, mate.
Can you give us again, please, Jane? Yeah,
that is good.
Yeah, all you're hoping, isn't it amazing? And you might have this more than I did, mate, being a defender. But all you're hoping for when they're doing the presentation, shit, I hope my man doesn't win the Norm Smith medal. The bloke I was playing on.
Don't worry.
There's that moment in time where they go to read out the Norm Smith. And, like, you do, you miss a beat. Your heart misses a beat because you think, it'll be the most embarrassing moment of all time if my man actually wins the Norm Smith medal.
It'll be more embarrassing as a forward if a backman's winner. Not many backmen are winning it. Yeah. Like Brian Lake won it, one of the
Brian Lake won it one year,
And then he sold the Gatorade truck and started driving it around the MCG. That's right. He did. Unbelievable.
Great recollection.
Because Cyril Rioli won it in 15 when we lost. Who won it in 2004?
Have you got? Byron Pickett.
Indigenous
boys were just unbelievable.
That was a game.
When you come into the game, like, they've got about probably six of the greatest Indigenous players that have ever played the game in one team.
Burgoynes?
Is that Burgoynes, Wanganeen, obviously stacked. Piggott, there's a couple other of the boys. And we thought if they get off the chain, we're in deep shit.
They got off the chain.
Like, it was like, if you look at the best players, Port Adelaide best players, it was like the six Indigenous boys.
Yeah.
And they just dominated us, especially when the game got a run on.
We've got a Collingwood nufty. He's actually from Middle Earth. His name is Swoop Luke.
Oh, yeah.
We know Swoop.
Can you just tell him if your thoughts on whether Dom Sheed played on, Scuzz?
Oh, yeah, absolutely he's played on. Big Swoopy. Don't worry, mate. And Sheeda knows it. Roseby, like I said, I asked Roseby to
Brett
his face.
Yep.
He was the officiating umpire, right? West Australian, Brett Roseby, right?
And is so we, he? Really?
Mate, we asked him. great guy. Games record holder as umpire, right? So he knows what he's doing. Umpired a lot of grand finals. Matty Stevic has him for most ever, but he's umpired 10 grand finals. And I asked him directly. I said, mate, look, you've made a few blues over your career. Reporting me when I elbowed Clayton Oliver in the jaw that time. That was a blue. But you talked to us about that decision. And he said he just called it how it was. Watching it back, definitely could have been. He definitely could have called play on. But he didn't, right? So Swoopy, unlucky big fella.
Tell you what,
Collingwood supporters though, they're long-suffering. If they hadn't have won last year, there was a lot of carry-on for Collingwood supporters.
Yeah.
About 18, about a bunch of ones after 2010 that they could have won or should have won or should have been in. I'm glad they won.
Yeah.
Are you glad they
won? No, I'm not glad because, geez, I copped some shit. I copped some feedback on the exit out of the MCG. Wouldn't it have been beautiful, though, because I was sort of a bit torn last year because great mates with Craig McRae and I wanted him to do so well.
Yeah, true.
So I was a bit torn with the result, but I just would have loved to encapsulate that 3 or 4 minutes if they had lost that game
last year.
Like they would have lost the unlosable grand final.
Oh, man.
Because they were clearly the best team on the day, but obviously Brisbane were still within a kick. And
they were going deep too. Brisbane were going deep. That advantage call, all that
drama. Bad
call. Yeah, yeah.
Where were you? What was that like watching for you? Like you said,
you know, it was the first time. We're talking about being fans.
Yeah.
It was the first time my team's been in the grand final.
Because
obviously Fitzroy never made a grand final. We were terrible. We were worse than West Coast.
That's why they clipped you.
The only difference was we didn't have 80 million in the bank. Otherwise, we'd still be Fitzroy.
Yeah, we're still going to get back to West Coast, by the way, boys.
But I was genuinely like a Nuffy supporter.
Yeah, man.
Like the passion just got a hold of me and I started jumping up and screaming. I said through my daughter who's a mad Carlton supporter.
Yep.
And
trainer.
I never couldn't quite understand it. Like, and she's become like a crazy supporter. But I became that crazy supporter on grand final day because my team was in the game in the grand final. Oh,
good. Speaking of crazy supporters, this beautiful man took his said daughter to the Taylor Swift concert. And he went full Swifty.
Great. Did you dress up?
I did. Well, because I said, Liv, I'm going to take you down to the we live in the Gold Coast, so we flew down. Said, we're going to Taylor Swift. And she goes, Dad, I've got to dress you up. So she made a T-shirt with Ready For It on it. And then made me like, 28 friendship bracelets.
Yeah, what's the friendship bracelet thing?
Oh, no, it's like the Swifty bracelets.
Yeah, and so then when you're there, you trade them with others.
And I thought, shit, I've got to try and get to know the songs. 43 songs. So I thought, I'm going to have a crack at trying to learn these songs on the plane down. I had about 10 words and that was shake it off 3 times. And one other word, so
I'm just picturing fucking Brownie sitting in economy about, row 7 in the middle aisle. Just shake it off.
So it was fun. There was this young fella sitting beside me. He was having a couple of beers and then he said, I went to the bar. I said, mate, do you want a beer? And he goes, nah, I'm all right. And then he come back and then he offered me a beer. It was getting late in the night. It was starting to turn dark. And I said, mate, I'll have a beer. Actually, I said, grab me 2 while you're there. Because I can't be stuff for. So this poor bastard, he sort of looked at me. He would have been on apprentice wages. It cost me $48 to buy me 2 Carlton Rafts, who I'm the ambassador for. And then I thought, I better reciprocate. So I quickly polished off the 2 cans. I said to the young bloke, mate, I'll get you a couple of cans. He goes, yeah, that's great. I walked down to the bar. The bar was shut.
This poor broke kid. Brownie's fleeced me for 2 beers. And then
he's going around telling him, Brownie's a tight ass. He's the ambassador.
What a stitcher.
It was a beautiful moment, though, with the daughter of Taylor Swift. So it was good fun. What an unbelievable concert.
We'll get there one day as well. I think got two young kids, one daughter, so eventually I'm sure I'll get her to some sort of concert. But there was like a live Bluey show that I think we went to once. It was really weird. Like they're dressed out in like big costumes, but haven't got to that level yet. We on our podcast, every person we speak to, we ask the same question. It's usually the first question we ask every guest, and we've missed it. So I apologize. You both get the question. So how did this originally started because I was trying to like one up Scoey with something, and I said to Scoey, "Tell me the greatest thing you've ever done in a sporting realm, but you can't use footy as your thing because you're a footy player. We know that you won a premiership. Who cares? I want to know your greatest sporting achievement that's not on the footy field, so then I could use something that was maybe better than his." Question goes to you guys then, Brownie. So footballer, obviously.
Thanks for Tab Touch.
Of course.
Greatest sporting achievement, not on the football field, Brownie. You've won premierships, All Australian, captain of your club. Honestly, I couldn't fit your run sheet. On our run sheet, I couldn't fit your accolades on the football field. But for this moment in time, we don't care, Brownie. We couldn't care less.
Mm.
Thanks to Tab Touch, your greatest sporting achievement, not on the football field.
Is it? Well, does bungee jumping count?
Absolutely, it does. The more unique, the
extreme
better.
Sport. There okay, you go.
Extreme sport. There you go. Perfect, Dan. Thanks.
Hey, there's more of a story there. Don't stop the bungee.
I was 15 years old on a footy trip with the Geelong Falcons. I think we're playing under 16s in the Gold Coast. Do you remember that, Scuzz? We used to go to the Gold Coast, and we were on the Goldie, and there used to be that bungee jumping place right in the centre of the Gold Coast in Service Paradise, and it was $80 to do the jump, and I didn't obviously have $80. I was 15 years old, so. I said to the girl behind the jump, if I do it nude, can I get it for free?
As if that's a good proposition.
And she said, absolutely. And so I was like, shit, I'm in the deep end now. So next minute I'm standing up on top of the tower in the nude.
All the boys are?
All the boys are there surrounded.
Great.
Unfortunately for me, it was the middle of the winter. It was a cold night.
Jonathan, I've got to ask, what happens to a penis in that scenario, because it's not straddled in by undies.
Yes. You would go there, Dana.
Yeah.
It's just hitting you in the face.
Well, I was wide. It's fair to say I was wide-eyed on the way down. So, I didn't have much hair on me. Me little fella at that stage. So, there's no need for manscaping at that stage. So there you go. That's probably my greatest achievement.
New bungee jump.
That's so perfect.
It's fair to say I put it out there that night.
Yeah, Dan was
bowled 5 for 16 in an under-12s grand final.
You son of a bitch.
5 for 16. That's pretty good.
Chewett Hill Cricket Club.
Great.
Did you ever get a hat trick?
No, I was on a hat trick though. Last two balls of the game, 2 wickets. We lost the grand final.
I got the greatest hat trick of all time.
Well, there we go. There's another one.
How do you want to get your hat trick ball? How do you want to get
Talk us through the hat trick.
Yeah.
How do you think you want to get your hat trick ball?
What
sort of wicket?
Middle stump, out of the ground.
Middle stump out of the ground, halfway up.
Jeez. Yeah.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It was unbelievable. It was a kid's dream.
How old were you?
I was about 15, about a week after I did the bungee jump. And I was,
big week.
It's a real sweet spot for
me. Who are you playing for? Taking a hat trick's big, no matter what level.
That's right, but taking a hat trick middle stump out of the ground, I still remember the bloke, Des Douglas. I got him out and sent
shout
him
out Des Douglas.
Old Desi Douglas.
So it was a big week for middle stumps then, right?
That's right.
Middle stump off exactly the bungee right. And the middle stump out of the ground. Dino.
Cop this.
Dino, greatest sporting achievement. And you can go anywhere you like.
Quirting, wheat belt. WA.
Yes.
Quirting Swimming Club down at the main pool.
Wow. The only pool.
This chubby young man received the Encouragement Award in 1994.
Wow. Yeah, nice.
Brother. Encouragement.
Was it an Encouragement Award?
It just means you can't float very well. Here's a trophy. That's what it pretty much means.
Wow.
But the trophy was so big, I put it on their mantelpiece. And at the time, I didn't know what it meant. It means you shit, but it doesn't mean you. It does mean you should.
It means you're a great team player.
They could give it to someone. Yeah, good on you.
So, Dino, you've got the Encouragement Award for today's episode.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Print it up.
Brownie and I have done a lot of talking here, and we're going to get to the West Coast stuff here. But Brownie, did you represent Australia? Did you play in the...
No, I never went on one of those. I would have loved to have those Irish trips.
Yeah, not to play.
Would have been a little bit worse.
So,
what about if Fev got sent home?
Did he?
Yeah. Was he at Brisbane?
No, he was at Carlton, I reckon, the year before. It was the year before, and he got sent up.
Before the game.
He got in a blue at a bar. That's in right. Ireland. It was on CCTV. Oh,
I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, remember that?
Imagine that's a long flight home.
So there is one person sitting at the table that's represented their country, and it's not you, Brownie. Right? It's not you, Dino.
It's not me.
It's not me. Dan Conn's Australian representative.
Really?
Tell him, boys.
Went to New Zealand a couple of months ago now, represented Australia in fistball.
Big.
Fistball?
What is that, man?
It's fistball. It's like European.
Did you get the encouragement
award? We lost 3-0 to the Kiwis. It was like a tri-series against New Zealand. We're not even an encouragement award. It's like a big outdoor volleyball, but it's five-a-side. There's a net in the middle. You can only use your fist to hit it.
Fistball.
So there's no open hands. Like you get... Shame. If you use your open hand, you lose the point. It's just you can't use your open hand at all.
Wait, do people say shame?
Yeah, you like.
No, they don't.
Well,
say
not,
shame,
not in the official, but in like the Australian comps, gotcha. Sent off the ground, everyone goes shame, and you lose the point, and you don't get that man for the next point. Represented Australia, went to New Zealand, Prebbleton in Christchurch. Great, amazing.
Remember Brown Dog when. Brown Dog was the captain
Kabaddi.
Of the Australian Kabaddi team.
Kabaddi.
We still don't know what the fuck Kabaddi is.
Yeah, it's. I remember going to Varsity Bar once and Kabaddi was on. It was like the World Cup. And I sat there for 2 hours watching it and I feel like I've got a grasp on it. It's awesome.
For people listening along, back chat listeners that are listening, and we haven't really spoken about what your podcast is, boys, Brownie's podcast, right? Is your last name Brown, Dino?
No, okay. I stuffed it up.
So it's Campbell Brown, Jonathan Brown, and Dino.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, okay.
We're going to deed poll his name and change it. Just like nice. Gary Hocking changed his to Whiskers.
Have you blokes, I'll come out of that too. Have you blokes spoken on the pod about this Kabaddi fucking run with Campbell Brown?
We haven't brought it up in 3 years.
You're kidding.
I don't know how we haven't got there.
Well, Dog gets in about an hour's time, so we're going to have to bring
it
up straight away. So the boys from Backchat want to know... run us through the full kabaddi.
Mate, maybe you could do a Dan Fistball kabaddi crossover and you boys can go at it. So Buddha Hocking, he was my Geelong Falcons head coach.
Was he?
And so me and a couple of the college boys, so we used to call him Whiskers to his face and he used to fucking hate it.
Fair
digger. Yeah. He was,
I always wondered that, like, is it? Can you bring something like that up with Gary Hocking? Does he go to Sporties and tell that story or is he embarrassed by it?
Because he doesn't look that, like, he doesn't look like an outgoing, funny guy.
He's quirky, mate. Like, right. He's a bit, like all head coaches, like, they're a bit tapped in the head, right? Yeah. And he's a bit left of centre, right? Like, so when we got over to Perth, he'd been coaching in the Waffle and then came and did the Falcons. I got drafted out of the Falcons and I got over to Perth and some of the boys had played under him in the Waffle. And this one day, he'd come out and the boys are down by 10 goals, right? Sorry, actually, take it back. They'd lost the last game by 10 goals.
Yep.
Defended poorly, not zoning, not getting back and helping their defence. So to start the next game, he put all 18 players inside the D50. No one in the centre outs. They started the game. No ruck.
Whiskers.
No rover.
Rascalish behaviour.
So Ben, I remember Ben Sharp was on the Eagles list, right? Sharpie. They stood in the middle of the ground, right? So Buddha goes, you blokes are going to learn how to zone and help your defenders. So he said, no one's to leave here, right? And they're not going to kick a goal. So the West Perth boys stood in the middle of the ground, stood there handballing around. Ben Sharp had over 50 touches. They're doing this. No one's coming out of the 50. No one's coming out of the 50. Doing this. They get up. They get their biggest kick, like one of their halfback flankers, give him a handball, kicks it from outside 50 over their head.
Straight out of the top.
For a fucking goal.
Whiskers.
So Buddha was a lunatic, basically.
He's a
Buddha.
Remember they sat on the footy show all the time when he must have had an appearance and he's.
Man, they had a field day with that. They played that clip so many times.
That was unbelievable.
Did he change his name back?
Yeah, I don't think it
was like for a week because that was back in the day. So Geelong and now, well, real considering where they are, you know, geographically, like they're a provincial town, really. Like they're a rich club. Yeah, and they've done so well. But back in those days, they were really struggling finance-wise.
Oh, yes, and yes, yes. Let's enjoy the magic.
Would have changed it so they get sponsored.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, ecstasy. Oh, that is good stuff.
And it's absolutely rattled in the background.
I didn't realise it was in an interview. It was like a Today Show cross.
It's coming out of a horse float.
That's so
cool. And he was tough too.
So, boys, we haven't broken down West Coast, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
this
yeah.
is we are over in Adelaide for Gather Round. You might be hearing this a couple of weeks late, but what's going on, Dana? So Brownie, Fox Footy analyst, right? We'll see him on TV breaking this down. Let's get a proper breakdown from the fans,
the fandom.
All right. So the way I see it,
just for the record, though, we will say we're in Adelaide. We're 0-3 at the moment. When this comes out, we could be 3-3.
Who are you going to fucking beat?
That is very unlikely.
We're playing Sydney tomorrow.
You're playing Sydney. Yeah. You're playing Richmond. Do you think you can beat Richmond?
Maybe.
Yes.
Where's the game at?
It's at Optus.
There we go.
They just beat Sydney. They just beat Sydney.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? And then you play the Dockers in the Derby.
Oh, that's going to be so green.
Break it down, boys. What's going on, Dino?
Dan, I like that we sort of reset at once. So we've got a lot of young kids out there. So to me, that says they're all going to grow together and we're going to be dominant in, I want to say, 4 years. That's probably ambitious.
It's very ambitious. I think when I look at the list, right, and Sko, because you're doing an article, it's out now, about the draft pick selection from West Coast from 06 beyond, and then we look at what's happened after 18. We have young guys, but they feel like top-up players because we're injured so much. So they don't feel like good grassroots, like, strong guys are going to be in the club. They're not going to be in the next premiership team.
You just don't. What? So Harley Reid, Ruben Jimby, Elijah.
Oh, we got like 7 or 8.
But I know what you're talking about.
Oscar Allen.
There's a handful of players that still look like boys, and they get the ball, and they look like deer in headlights.
Sometimes and no offense to these players, I don't know them personally, but sometimes West Coast tweet such and such has signed on for 3 years. I'm like, I've never seen that guy in my life.
Yeah.
So have you got a defender? Because you got to obviously.
Barassa McGarvin.
Two of the best interceptors.
A young defender. Yeah.
Well, Brady Hoff's the up and comer, so they give him the roles every week, and he's pretty good, but he's not your key position.
No,
he's a 191, 192.
So the hardest position again is obviously the ends, and you know, because you can draft midfielders, they're dime a dozen. So Harley Reid hopefully turns out to be like Chris Judd and all that. But it's can you get the ends? You've got one end with Oscar Allen.
Yes.
Can you get the other end to replace, replace McGovern and Barras?
I'm worried about Oscar Allen
become good.
Becoming one of those players that is so injured he just kind of fizzes out, because I haven't seen him play. It feels like in a long time. He played half a game.
You know, I thought last, I said to you, like, Oscar hasn't played like any games in the last 2 years. He played almost every game last year.
He played 21 games last year.
Well, he won the best in Ferris, didn't he?
No shit.
Didn't he?
No.
I couldn't, I, that was surprising five. To me. But yeah, but this year, like, he's probably not going to play. Like, if they're 0-16 and he comes in, they're not going to put him
in. The point I will make here from an external voice here, fellas, is you're not a premiership team until you're a premiership team. So at some point in time, the 2001 to 2003 Brisbane Lions, they were no good at some stage, right? They're
90. Wooden spoon in
98. Yeah, wow.
Right? So, 98. A wooden spoon in 2010 for West Coast after winning 06, 10 wooden spoon. This one here, win 18, 23 wooden spoon, 24 wooden spoon. There's no way they don't win the wooden spoon this year.
No.
So I think you've got 5 years of this. This is the start, but you'll add another 5 years of players, like, to get a big core of players, right?
The only thing is, like, you get the wooden spoon, right? And usually a team wins 5 games or 4 games, whatever, they get the wooden spoon. We've won 4 games in 3 years. Like, it's like we didn't just bottom out. There's just like no structure there at all. It just feels like there's no, it's like a blip in the radar. We're bad for a couple of seasons. How did it happen though?
Like, I wonder from the outside world, and I don't pay a huge amount of attention. Obviously, we're over in the East Coast, but, and frankly, we've sort of given up talking about West Coast, you know, because we're bored with the conversation when we're doing it on TV. But you sort of walk away from 2018 Grand Final Day and you go, geez, they're going to be up for quite a long time, because you guys were relatively young. So you go, how has that happened? How has the club just deteriorated so quickly?
The following year,
such a basket case for such a powerful club. You know, that's the thing that still astonishes me.
So,
I know COVID, but everyone had COVID. Everyone's had bad injuries. Everyone has their run of injuries. So, but how can a powerful club that was rich in talent fall so quickly?
The following year, we had Pissgate, right, with Willie.
Correct. Pissgate.
We were deep into the finals and Pissgate happened, which, by the way, given all that drug stuff that just came out with about doctors looking after their players, sort of holding their hand through an illicit drug scandal, who dropped the ball with Willie? Like, how do we get to a point where he's pouring Gatorade into a piss cup? That's strange.
Well, look, I haven't spoken too much.
The fact that he used blue Gatorade didn't help. Going for the yellow one.
Well, I haven't spoken much about this, but Willie specifically, because it's a current issue, right? Where he grew up, right? Torres Strait Islands, basically. And his culture is very different to what you and me and Brownie and Dan and anyone else really listening is used to. It's a different culture, right? And he comes to the footy club and it's all happening and blah, blah, blah. And you get the drug chats at the start of the year and most people understand and get it. And I don't think Willie did. And it wasn't a malicious thing.
Yeah.
And basically, like, without going into too much detail, he panicked. And I don't think there was no one could have helped him, because
you are in the room on your own.
When it's Asada is shorts around your ankles.
Yep.
Shirt over your head,
arseless chaps.
It's like bungee jumping and goggles.
Very similar to bungee jumping.
Right. Only difference is you don't have a bungee cord tied around your fucking ankles. But you know, Willie's in there with a drug tester, and then you know, does he sing? And no one knows about it because they don't tell Willie that, hey, we've just seen you spit Gatorade out or whatever happened. Right? It just, that's what happens, and so
they just observe.
They just write it down. It goes up the chain, and it's Asada, right? This is a world end. So I remember that. I remember that morning of that final. We found out the morning of the final.
Oh, brother.
And they had to fly in a player that day. Jack Petrocelli flew over. Oh, but it was just, it was the weirdest, you know, it's just something you don't expect morning of an elimination final against Geelong.
Yeah. And poor dude. I really
was that before a final?
Mate, elimination final. And so, to answer your question, Brandon, how does it get like that? I've got a few theories. I think that the list,
right, and what you were talking about, and there's a lot of things. It's not one
yeah, thing. It's always combination. You know,
they haven't been fit enough. Okay, well that doesn't cause the drop off. You know, coaches or whatever you want to blame. Okay, maybe, but it's a lot of different things. But I think the biggest one for mine is the list and the development in the Waffle. So they've got their own standalone side that, because of injuries, but because of how it's set up in the Waffle, players don't develop. Right? So like when I come through the footy club, I played 40 games in the Waffle my first 3 years. I played 12 games of AFL, and I learned how to be in a footy club. I was 17.
What Waffle club did you play?
I was a Peel.
Peel, yeah.
Right, okay. So I played almost 100 games of Waffle over my career. Dropped a lot, Brownie. Right, really? The most dropped player in the West Coast Eagles. I could have been a 300-game player if I'd have fucking stayed in the team. But the point is, I learned how to go back and forth with teammates. So, you know, you have a bad game and blokes clipping you. Out in the field, you got adults and men telling you what's right, what's wrong. Yeah, right now, their Waffle set up, they don't have that. They can't recruit people from other areas. They don't have an allotment. They don't have they can't get kids from the wheat belt. They can't. They've got restrictions on how much they can pay people. Mm-hmm. So they've got this group of kids, mate, right, playing in the Waffle. They get spanked by 100 points every week.
Oh, really?
And that's been happening for 3-4 years.
I didn't know this then.
So you've got this group of guys playing shithouse in the AFL, and then you've got
getting kicked around in the
Waffle, and then there's no leadership, right? So I came back and played a game 2 years after I retired in that team because they had no players. They literally, mate, they could have given Brownie a call. They'd come down and play a game. I came out and sat in full forward, right? Kicked a goal as well. It was good. but that's the point. As funny as it is, they don't have any development. So these kids, like, you know, they're not ready, and then they get played, and they're trying to figure out how to play in the AFL.
Yeah.
You know, like, look at Campbell Chesser, right? He could be a great player, but he's never played senior football, and he's lining up next to Marcus Bontempelli on the weekend.
Yeah.
Sure, you learn some lessons, right?
Yeah.
But not when you aren't.
Because I'll put it in reserves. It's obviously development from a development perspective, but also to build confidence.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, whether it be that younger player, mainly younger players, or a player who's a veteran or an experienced player to go back and get form. You know, just a little sharpen up. But if that's not happening as well, you're right. That's a very important.
There's just no integrity of selection.
All right. Yeah. So what you guys are saying is just hold on. Just.
Wow, mate. Like, yes. But, like, it's not looking good, mate.
What about Simo? Let's go there.
What's the alternative? Well,
No comment from Scarsel.
I want Dean Cox. He's learned all Longmire's tricks.
It's coaching suicide. Why would Dean Cox, first chance to become a head coach, come over and get destroyed every
I reckon
week.
It's the opposite. But it's like,
he would get grace, though. He'd get a few years grace.
You can't get worse. We bottomed out. We're below the ground.
Why don't we get Juddy to come over as the footy boss and then he can look after his man Coxie.
He's guaranteed. Very like corporate five, now, years. Juddy, isn't he? I've seen him a few times all around. He's got his jacket on.
He got into a lunch yesterday. Yeah. He came and said a couple of words, told a couple of Vizzy stories.
He was funny, man.
A
couple of Vizzy stories.
He put recycling on the map when he went to Carlton, got paid by Vizzy. That's how they extricated him out of the West Coast Football Club. He was premiership captain, for God's sakes.
He reckons there was all this controversy, but no one thanked me for the clean air they'll
bring. Exactly right. And then he had to go and talk, didn't he? He had to go and talk.
Went to some mining conference.
Some mining conference. He was the keynote speaker. Mate. And then he ends up back with us, taking us on a tour of every seedy bar in Adelaide.
Juddy was on fire last night. Can you imagine with his...
I had to leave him. I had to get away. Actually, he just texted me.
Is he alive?
Goodbye, you, to sneak away. His head hurts.
Yeah, so. Brownie smoke bomb last night. But imagine Juddy, how obsessive and how intense of a player he was. He's got that same tenacity with finance now. Can you imagine how many dollars are in that?
Smart man, Juddy. Yeah.
Well, a bit of Bernie Madoff about him.
he's a bit
of Ponzi scheme about Juddy at the moment.
You would have copped the – so after your successful period, you would have been playing against 0506 Eagles, which a lot of people have them, especially in the West, like a very good team. What are they like?
Well, it wasn't just that era. It was the pre. So – there's always a bogey team, even when you're a good team. And ours was West Coast Eagles. So even when they were shit in the early 2000s, they would always beat us. Yeah. If you actually go and check the record, or we certainly had a lot of problems with them.
Jody kicked four and had 30.
Jody had five by half time playing in the midfield.
Was Acker tagging him? I'll see the Ackers running around him in the back line.
That's right. Actually, no, I think Mickey Braun was on him, because remember that was the time the Acker said, I think he's on drugs, because he could keep up with him.
Lethal knew about, obviously, Lethal knows everything. He's Jesus. But he knew how good Juddy was when no one knew Juddy. Right?
I remember in the meeting, it might have been Juddy's first year or second year. And it's fair to say we were pretty full of ourselves. We'd run three flags and we didn't pay a huge amount of attention to the opposition. And Lee in the pregame meeting goes, hey, boys, I know you don't pay any attention to the opposition, but pay attention to this young fella. And he had Juddy's name circled because he goes, because he can – play. Right. And we're like, oh, yeah, good on you, Lethal. Hey, by half time, he had our attention when he kicked five from the midfield. The boys are walking in and go, who the fuck's that number three?
Well, I fucking told you. Yeah, I told you.
But he was, I still hold Juddy as, so I was fortunate enough to play with Voss. I loved Wayne Carey growing up, being a centre half forward. But I still think the height of Chris Judd was the best player I've played against.
And all his best highlights are in our jumper deck.
Yeah, I think when he was at the height of his career, I don't think there was anyone better or had more impact on the game that I played against.
Yeah.
So he was a phenomenon, wasn't he? Especially those West Coast days.
Mate.
You know, look.
Hey, you're both retired players.
Thank you.
I feel like Jonathan could be a real mentor to you, Scuzzy, on the cashy circuit.
I'm listening.
He could tell you a lot of tricks about where to bury your money, how to keep the ATO at bay.
That's right.
But a quick shout out to my auntie Yvonne and sister Claire. You went to Esperance recently.
You did a talk.
You gave them $100 Liquor Barons voucher. So thanks for that, brother.
Oh, how good.
That wasn't out of my pocket. Full of cash. It was full of cash.
But I've heard you roll out the same stories over and over, because, you know, your mate and I'm around you a lot. But every time you add a bit more spice, something new.
Just a little bit of mayonnaise.
Even if it's made up, I don't give a shit. How do you feel about rolling out the same stories at these things?
Mate, I've got three good stories and they just get better and better every time I tell them. Right, you heard a little one about that 18 grand final. That just ramps right up after a couple of beers. Brownie would know.
Like, oh, yeah. Well, the one you haven't done the go-to you mentioned, so I really don't do many anymore. Yeah, I've sort of ran out of shovels to bury the cash. But you mentioned about Geelong, you know, kids growing up playing in Geelong, and Geelong were shit in the early 2000s, weren't they? Yep. When it was all that, but it was all those young blokes: Gary Ablett Jr., Joel Corey,
Jay Chapman,
Enright Chapman. All those boys, and we used to go down to Geelong and absolutely just pulverize every time. It was like men against boys, and we'd be laughing coming off the bus, going, "This is just how easy this can be, like playing West Coast at the moment." and one time we played them. It might have been 01 or 02, and this sums up Michael Voss. Vossy was a very good sledger, so we come out after half time, and maybe 2 or 3 minutes after half time, and obviously. Bomber Thompson was coaching Geelong at the time. He's obviously decided to give Shannon Burns a role, you know, a bit of education, played him on Vossy. So we're 3 minutes into the third quarter, and next me hear Vossy going, "Umpire, stop the game." It was a boundary throw in. He goes, "Stop the game. No, stop the game." Captain. So everyone stops. Captain. It's the captain. So the umpire turns around and goes, "Everyone, stop the game. Vossy, what's wrong?" He turns and looks at Shannon Burns. He said, "I think they've left one of the Oz kickers on the ground after half time."
That's good.
Oh, mate. So that's one we roll out from time to time. That gets a little bit of mayo from time to time. I'm trying to tighten that one up for you. But, reminded me before, I thought, geez, how easy it was at Geelong. But, geez, they repaid the favour, though, when they became good 3 or 4 years later.
Bloody oath. Now, boys, we got the great man himself, Brad Johnson, coming in after you, lads. So we're going to have to start to wrap things up. But before Brownie, I want to put a couple of things to you. You've been a member of Fox Footy for a decent time now. Can you name any backmen that are on the staff at Fox Footy?
Well, we had the great Spud Frawley, didn't we?
Yeah, so correct. Of course, yeah. Correct, absolutely.
Yes.
We had Brian Lake for a limited time.
Is he still in prison in Japan?
Yeah. He used to come and do our breakfast show, didn't he?
He did, man.
From time to time.
He used to hang out for too long.
He used, to do a segment called Brian's Bargains.
Never has a segment died quicker than Brian's Bargains.
And then he just hang around and sit in our staff room for like 4 hours.
You got somewhere to be, Brian? Fuck off.
Go away, Brian.
Just listen to this, Brownie, right? Brown, Pavlich, Riewoldt, yes. Lyon. Brereton, Dunstall.
They're
all forwards. Well, why do you think people like listening to you blokes talk so much?
Come to think of it, yeah.
Well, seriously, Buckley, Rusciutto, right?
The big forwards keep the turnstiles clean. yeah, you're right. That's good. Well, we've got you now, Scuzz.
Correct.
You're our Perth contingent. You so do. Yourself, Kath. And Pav, right. Now, and Adam Papalia.
Yes, best in the business.
Paps. Papalia.
Papman.
Papalia.
Now,
Pap Dog Millionaire.
Now, you're right, Brownie, right? You are lucky you have me. And the game is lucky that they have Backman, right? Yes. You got the Brownlow, you got the Coleman, you got the Norm Smith. No Backman Award, right? And unfortunately.
There should be a Backman Award.
The late, great Danny Frawley ran the Golden Fist in its right manner for a long time. It's falling off the wagon, Brownie, right? Nick Dacos got 3 votes last week, which is disgraceful, right? Bernie Vincent's throwing out. I had a chat last night to him. I said, mate, it's not good enough.
Not good enough.
So we created the Backchat Backman of the Year Award last year. Jack Buckley won it from the GWS Giants.
Yes.
A proper defender.
Yes.
Doesn't lose contests. Spoils instead of marking. Right, you don't see him running around trying to get cheap touches, right? He just gets his job done.
Is that Ben Buckley's son too?
Ben Buckley's son.
Yeah.
So that we coined the Jack Buckley medal. So we now have the Brownlow, the Norm Smith, the Coleman, and the Buckley, right? We presented this to Jack at when they came over to flog West Coast a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was great.
King has loved it.
Yeah, King has loved it. Adam Kingsley had us out in front of the boys, did a big presentation. Right,
that's great.
Dead serious. And we've got it here. I forgot to bring it
along. They've got some underrated defenders. I know I've got Sam Taylor, but some of the other boys, Iden's a star.
So on the back of all that, who is your favourite current defender, proper defender? Connor Iden's been thrown out there and we love him. Is there anyone else across the league that you like seeing defend, Brownie? Proper defenders?
I don't pay a huge amount of attention to that. I think I am a big fan of Harris Andrews. I think he gets unfairly maligned.
Big ears.
He tries to play. Big ears. Yes, he does have big ears. Thank you. Thanks
good
for
player,
input.
Harris Andrews.
But he plays that role where it's not quite understood. That, and you'd understand this, Scuzz. You're trying to play that in between. You are covering a man, but you're also trying to support your other defenders by getting across for the intercept. So sometimes he can look very ordinary because he's out of position. But I think Harris Andrews does a great job.
I like it.
And I think he's Brisbane's most important player. So the Buckley Award for me goes to Harris Andrews.
I want to put something else to you. It's a statement, right? I need to listen, and I want you to can take it under consideration. Forward sell memberships. Mid-sign sponsorships, backs win premierships.
Shit.
True, false, thoughts, feelings. Think about your successful sides. Is that true or false?
That is utter rot. I've never heard anything so preposterous in all my time.
Without you in 2018, no flag.
We had forward
sell memberships. Right? People come to watch you kick goals. That's fine. We come watch the footy to watch you blokes, right? Mid-sign sponsorships. They're the money men, right? But backs win premierships. You don't win without us, mate.
Well, all I know is we were conditioned well. We had Lynch, Bradshaw, myself as the big forwards. But there was no tougher job than on a Wednesday night when Lethal said you have to go one-on-one with our defenders. Mel Michael, Daryl White, Justin Lepich, Chris Scott, just to name a few. That was our hardest. They were our hardest opponents week in, week out. So
you had a brilliant back line.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Our unit was unbelievable. They were formidable and they were hard men too. You would have had to get in a street fight with those boys.
Look at that camera and say defenders win premierships.
Backs win premierships.
That's what I meant.
Defenders win premierships.
Oh, boy. We bloody love it. I think that's pretty much us done.
Happy
with
that,
boys.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for having us on Brownie's podcast on Backchat.
Thanks for having us on because this is going out on Brownie's.
That's right. I think we're going to beat you on air too because this will be going out Saturday.
Great. Hey, wow.
So, we love your work. Thanks for having
us. We love your work, boys. Continue your great work. We're going to throw some sponsors in here if that's all right with you, fellas. Backchat powered by Paywise this season, fellas, right?
Beautiful.
Novated lease or sort yourself out with some salary packaging. Go down and see the boys. ID Athletic, Whippersnapper Whiskey, Mumba Digital, Tab Touch, our good friends at Tab Touch, Shelter Brewing Co., Leaderville Precinct, yes, Brownie. Yes. Brownie's like, don't worry about the cashies, Brownie. Yeah. Get in the podcast world. Backchatstudios.com.au. You can find all of your stuff there. You got any sponsors you want to give a little lick to?
Sounds like a conference with Chris Judd.
I want to thank Sexy Land.
Personal sponsor.
A great sponsor.
Very good. Beautiful.
The great man's here right now. Right. So, boys, done and dusted. Thank you very much.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, boys. Good on you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.